We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, there's reasons for concern, but there's also a lot of reasons to celebrate. And we've got some good young players here. We've got to get some pitching back on the right track.
No, Neil. Don't say that. Not a lot of reasons to celebrate. No. This was a tour de force by the Pirates general manager yesterday on his weekly radio show. And I think oftentimes, by the way, it's the PM team. And we're live from Redbeard's on 6th Street downtown. You should come down here. Love this place. Len and his whole crew here, awesome. Love the food. Great beer selection. Great vibe in this place, too. And a lofty picture of a red-bearded man with a cowboy hat that I kind of want to take and put in my house because it looks cool. But Neil Huntington, one of the things I've said about him, and listen, it is almost with a slight heavy heart that I do this because I actually like Neil Huntington. I'm an analytics guy more than I am an old-school baseball guy in terms of my analyses of the games, in terms of how I actually view what's going on. I'm more aligned with how Neil Huntington tries to view the game and tries to the prism through which he views the Pirates, views their successes, their failures, than not. I am much more aligned with him than not. But when he says in the midst of a 7-27 stretch, there's a lot of reasons to celebrate, even in the context of a statement where he acknowledges that, yes, there are a lot of reasons to not celebrate, I have a hard time getting on board with that. It's a really preposterous notion, and I think if you're a fan that has watched this team crater so badly and be so unable to get its footing post-All-Star game, when the Pirates brass, when some fans, when the players seem to think that they were on pace to be in it to the end of the season, if you're somebody that has watched them be so inept, the last thing you want to hear in any context is the general manager, the guy who constructed this franchise or who constructed this particular team, whose job it is to construct the team every year, say there is a lot of reasons to celebrate. They are mired in a slump that, if it continues apace, is going to land them with, I believe, if it goes, what, how many games left? I mean, I'm trying not to even think about it in those terms. The Pirates have played 123 games, so they have 39 games remaining. If the Pirates go, what would it be, I guess? 8-31 is about the pace that they're on. If the Pirates were to go 8-31 the rest of the way and go 59-103, and you'd have at that point, I think, a 15-win post-All-Star game run, it would be close to, if not the worst, I'm just doing the percentages in my head, by winning percentage, performance by a team after an All-Star game ever. The Detroit Tigers are trying to lose baseball games, and they can't do it as much and as regularly as the Pirates have in the last 34. Spinning it in a positive direction is one thing. Like, trying to put a positive spin if your team's, what, say they're in a 6-game losing streak right now and maybe they've just started to fade in the playoff race. Okay. Maybe if they were actually in the playoff race, bringing up some positives, even if people are maybe feeling more negative than not because they didn't maybe do what people wanted at the trade deadline, fine. But this is a catastrophe that is unfolding in slow motion 3-plus hours at a time every night, almost without respite. The idea that there are reasons to celebrate, any of them, rings false. Neil Huntington thinks that there are similar, he draws parallels to the 2012 team. He says there's similarities there. Another quote that we're not going to hear, he said, you know, people are going to want to roast me for this, but, and Stephen Nesbitt has it in his story, people are going to rip me for this, but the 2015 team that won 98 games. Here it is exactly. Quote, because again, I'll get crushed for saying this, the core of the 15 team was that 2012 team, end quote. He's trying to draw a comparison with that 2012 team that went in the toilet after it looked like they were going to be the ones to break the 20 years of losing. The team finished 79-83 that year. He's trying to say this is like that. It's not. It's not. The Pirates don't have a guy on this roster right now who was on the upward trajectory that Andrew McCutchen was. Not Josh Bell. Andrew McCutchen went out and won the National League MVP award the following season. The 2012 team had McCutchen. It had Neil Walker, who was still on the rise. Pedro Alvarez was going to go on to win the NL's home run crown the next year. It had pitching. It had A.J. Burnett. They had players that you could actually be excited about. They had a 23-year-old Starling Marte. McCutchen was 25, but he'd been around long enough you felt like he was just entering his prime. The core, I know he feels like he's making a comparison based on the rough ages of the core pieces here. That holds water, but it doesn't. Because that team was good for the majority of the season, and then, yeah, they went into a massive tailspin. They were above 500 by a lot as late as August 29th. They were 70-60, and then they really went into a tailspin. And you could watch it unfold in slow motion. It was tough to watch. They were 76-78 on September 26th that year, and then they really faltered to the finish. They couldn't get it done. This team went bad a lot earlier and was never that good to begin with. They never looked like a team that had a chance to go and make a big-time run. The Pirates at various points in 2012 looked like a really good baseball team. They're 58-42, I'm looking at. Their high watermark was as late in the season as basically almost this time that year, 63-47. This team's never been that. They were outperforming their run differential. I don't see any comparisons with 2012 here. What is there to get excited about? Look at Josh Bell. Look at Starling Marte right now. If you're a Pirates fan, do you see, okay, here, Marte, for example. You're talking about a core. Now, I know Neil Huntington's referring to next year. He thinks this team can contend. Starling Marte has an $11.5 million team option. They'll pick it up, I would assume. So he'll be here next year. But they've only got two more option years for him. Josh Bell's no dummy. He knows how the system works. He knows if he puts up numbers, there's going to be value in one league or another. He's leading the league in doubles, leading the league in RBI still, and he's been in a massive slump. Josh Bell, arbitration eligible in 2020. He could be a free agent by 2023. That's not too far off. The pitching right now, again, the partial phrase here was a lot of reasons to celebrate. The pitching rotation, starting rotation for next year is Joe Musgrove, Chris Archer, Trevor Williams, Stephen Brault, and Mitch Keller. And that is as long as the Pirates pick up Archer's option, which frankly I'm pretty sure they're going to, because what else are they going to get in the open market for $9 million next year? Probably not better than Chris Archer, as sad as that is to admit. Who's the big reason? Who's the reason, or the player, I should say, that Neil Huntington uses that's going to help them out, maybe? Chad Kuhl. Chad Kuhl! Here's some other players who could start for them next year. You ready for this? Again, Stephen Nesbitt's story here paints a bleak picture. Dario Agrizal, Clay Holmes, JT Brubaker, Alex McRae, and James Marvel. Put them all in a police lineup. Intersperse them with, like, insurance agents and regular guys. And I don't know if people could tell them from a police lineup. Pick them out. There's not a lot of things and reasons to celebrate. There's not. I would tell you if there was. I would blow sunshine all show and say, don't worry, the Pirates are going to be better next year. It is overwhelmingly likely that they're not. It's easy to look back in retrospect, and that's the little trick here that I think Huntington's trying to use, the little rhetorical trick, and say, hey, that 2012 team was bad, but look what they became in 2013. That 2012 team, the core of that team was still the 2015 team. Do you remember how hard we all laughed when Clint Hurdle said that the 2013 team, the target was to win 95 games? He ended up being off by one. But do you remember how that comment was greeted in this town? People thought it was one of the funniest, most outrageous things they'd ever heard. It seemed like an utterly foreign concept. The fact that they did it was one of the more unlikely developments in recent Pittsburgh sports history. The fact that they almost pulled off a 95-win season. In hindsight, it's real easy to look back at that and say, hey, this is 1-1. Look, 2012 happened, and yeah, that was bad and disappointing, but look what happened next, 2013. It was great. As if we were all expecting it to take place that way. We weren't. To a man, almost everybody that was talking about this team on the radio, writing about them in print, did not think good things were in the offing in 2013. It was a shock, not a surprising, a shocking development when the Pirates came out of the chute and were great and got on a big roll and never faltered. So the idea that you say, hey, just remember the past, doesn't mean it's going to happen again. Those Pirates teams back then had benefit of a couple different things. They just had better pitching. Burnett, Francisco Liriano coming in, and I know they're going to try to find another one of those. But here's where I say they had advantages that they don't have now. They were able to find reclamation project pitchers easier because other teams were giving up on them and not paying them any second mind. It was easier to find Liriano's, Jay Happ's in 2015, back in those years. The entire rest of the league has gotten wise to that. And they do it better than the Pirates. The Pirates were on the cutting edge for the most part of defensive shifting back then too. They were doing things other teams weren't. Now everyone is. Where's the wiggle room within the margins? If you want to know why 2012's team and what they ended up becoming in 2013 and beyond is not an acceptable kind of blueprint to draw from when you're trying to find positive about this team, start the discussion there. That team was run by a general manager whose approach still felt fresh, still felt novel, still felt decidedly, markedly ahead of the curve. This team is run by a general manager who doesn't seem to realize that everything has dissolved that he tried to build and that it has been an unmitigated disaster for the last month plus. Instead, what we get is a lot of reasons to celebrate. He can't even just say, yeah, this is really bad, without trying to throw in a little positive. It was an unbelievable thing to hear, to be quite honest with you. An unbelievable thing to hear from Neil Huntington. And if I were hearing it in real time, because I listened to it this morning, if I were hearing it in real time in the car or anything like that, my blood would have boiled at the idea that anything that has taken place and transpired this year could be viewed as positive. Anything that has taken place in the last month could be viewed as positive. Where are the positives? Brian Reynolds, Bell having still very much a breakout season. What else? What else is there? I'll wait. Don't say Starling Marte having a pretty good year because this is about the year he has every time. I bet you his OPS is going to finish right around 810. He's going to have a typical Starling Marte year. That's a known thing. That's not some sort of breakout. Find me the starting pitcher that's doing more than people ever thought he would. You won't. You'll find disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. With apologies to Neil Huntington, a person who I will always think of fondly because he built the team that ended 20 years of losing. No. As a matter of fact, there's not a lot of reasons to celebrate. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Up next, I've got to take a quick deviation here from being very frustrated by Neil Huntington and by the baseball team that he built. There is a scourge that I must address. I like taking vacations, but there is a new trend, apparently, in vacationing that has me in full get-off-my-lawn old guy mode. And I'm going to tell you what it is, and we're going to try to eliminate this scourge, this term, from the earth coming up next. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations, North Huntington and the North Hills. You can use your smartphone to follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. I say that with a very particular reason in mind. It's the PMT, Major Filippone, back tomorrow. We're live at Redbeard's on 6th downtown, one of my favorite places to be. You come down here, grab a bite, grab a brew, maybe two of each, and then talk a little shop, watch a radio show. And I said there was something I had to address here. Now, this feels, because I've been in radio over a decade, and I know many types of radio. Entercom Pittsburgh, we have 100.7 Star, we have Y108, we have News Radio 1020, KDKA, many types of radio, news talk, sports talk, pop music, country music, right? This story feels like something that is designed for your morning show that does, you know, maybe plays a lot of Maroon 5, for example, to bring up and to have a little back and forth about. And then for one person on that morning show to perhaps say, this isn't such a bad idea. And the other person to say, oh, it's a bad idea. Not being bound by the constraints of that format, I can just tell you that what I'm about to share with you is a big load of crap. And if it's a real trend, is going to infuriate me. This is apparently the travel trend from, I don't know what, you know, this is actually radio.com has put this up, okay? So you can find this. I think I saw KDKA Radio's Twitter feed retweet Star, send a link to a Star page. So you can find this 100.7 Star. A new travel trend going around, apparently, that involves ditching your friends to go on vacation with your phone. Travel and Leisure says that, so you've heard of honeymoons. You get married, go on a honeymoon. You eat a lot of great food. You do a lot of great other things to celebrate being married. Wham, bam. You go on a baby moon. You've maybe gone on a honeymoon and done those things, and now a baby is on the way. And you go and celebrate the fact that you have like 2 months left before suddenly there's this little pooping, shrieking, angry human being in your house that you need to take care of. That's what a baby moon is for. A mobile moon is something where apparently you go on vacation by yourself, except you take your phone and you make sure that you document everything you do on Instagram or God knows what social media platform you prefer. Now, I have nothing against going on vacation by yourself. If you're unattached and you're working hard in life and you say, you know what? I want to go on vacation. More power to you. I've always been if you really want to see a movie and none of your friends want to go, go see the movie yourself. There are a few joys when you're an adult. If you're like a teenager who says, Chris, you're a real nerd, dude. Become an adult. You'll want to do things by yourself because other people can be annoying. I got no problems with vacations by yourself. But now that we have given it a term, I feel like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino screaming at people to get off my lawn because this is so stupid. Have you ever seen, like, a couple? And I'm guilty of this once in a while, but I actually try to be mindful of it when Alex and I are out somewhere. You see a couple at a restaurant now, and both people aren't even looking at each other. They're sitting across the table, both staring at their phones. And you wonder, how do these people even know each other enough to like each other? All they're doing is looking at their phones, and they look up and go, huh? And now we have given a term to this. When you go on vacation by yourself because the only thing in life you love is your phone and getting depressed looking at people with more money than use Instagrams and saying, why can't I be that? Except they're probably not happy either. Something makes me think that this was a story like almost specifically designed for radio for people to get mad at. And if that's the case, I took the bait. I'm very sorry. Because it's like, because the last line is, well, it's fun to consider the mobile moon something of a new trend. There's a reality we have to face here. Solo travel in 2019 probably means traveling with your phone in hand. Yes, so you don't get lost because your entire life is on your phone. Why did we have to give a name to this? It makes me mad. It makes me mad that I fell for it, too. It makes me mad that I spent 2.5 minutes out of my day telling you about this stupid, stupid trend. Anyway. I feel good. You know what? I felt better now. I feel better. I got it out of my system. I feel much better. Now, all I can imagine, though, are people like, yeah, I'm going to go on a mobile moon. Just go on vacation and don't tell anyone about it. If I didn't have a wife, a child, and 2 dogs, I would go to, like, Arizona and play golf for a week, and none of you would hear from me. So the last thing I would want to do is tell everyone, hey, I'm in Arizona playing golf. Just go. That's the point. All right. Now that I got that out of my system, and, man, it felt good to do so, I'm going to get, like, I know that that, I sounded angry, but I swear that was cathartic for me. All I'm going to do now, though, is go right back into the angry pile here. I'm going to go right back in, get in touch with rage, because Neil Huntington, you heard the little quote that we started the hour with from his weekly radio show, which is heard right here on The Fan. There are, in the context of saying, yes, things aren't great, he also threw in a line, and I'm being fair here. He said things aren't great, but then he said there are a lot of reasons to celebrate, which absolutely not, no way, dude. No, no, no. That wasn't the most ridiculous thing you could argue he said. It wasn't. And Neil Huntington knows, because Greg Brown put it to him very succinctly. And I'll give Brownie credit, because I think he does a very good job on this weekly radio show that he hosts with Neil Huntington. I do believe that Greg Brown is not afraid to ask, some might call it tough, some might call it awkward questions, not awkward questions, but questions that are pointed. I don't think that's always an easy position to be in, but I think Greg Brown does a good job of just in plain terms asking things that need to be asked of Neil Huntington. And I thought he did that again yesterday. The question was pretty straightforward. And it was him. It was Greg Brown saying the following. Quote, if this team is going to compete, Neil, you've got to find a way to get some pitching in here. So Greg Brown yesterday said, it was kind of an opinion almost, a statement. Quote, if this team is going to compete, Neil, you've got to find a way to get some pitching in here. And I'm not going to play for you what Neil Huntington said in response, because it'll take a while, but I'm going to give you the Cliff's Notes of what Neil Huntington's methods or what his strategy is going to be to acquire that which is most precious in Major League Baseball, proven starting pitching. I have a spoiler alert coming up next. You aren't going to be happy. In fact, you're going to be very angry. But we'll all get to that point together. It's the PM team on The Fan. Live at Redbeard's on 6th Street downtown. I just wolfed down a bowl of chili. Very pleased about that development in my afternoon. It's the PM team. Andrew Filippone will be back in tomorrow. As you know, he's been convalescing after his surgery. But he'll be back. I know he is fired up about at least the Steelers in the preseason, because he was tweeting like a madman Saturday night. So if a meaningless football game had him throwing out takes like that, I can only imagine what he wants to say about what Neil Huntington had to say on his weekly radio show. And I love that we have Neil Huntington's weekly radio show. I love that we have the Pirates games on The Fan, because reading anything, as much as I love reading, because I write a lot, and as much as I thought Stephen Nesbitt did a wonderful job of kind of encapsulating the Pirates' problems with their pitching, never quite measures up to hearing it. And I mentioned that Greg Brown, I thought, did a very good job, as he always does, of asking pointed questions, or in this case, making somewhat of a pointed statement to Neil Huntington and just kind of forcing Neil Huntington to react. Because I think that's a tough thing to do. If you've never been in a situation where you're conducting an interview, it's a tough thing to do. It is. Especially with somebody who's pretty high profile, like the general manager of a baseball team. It is not easy all the time to say sometimes things that could be difficult, that you know are unpleasant for them to discuss. So I said Greg Brown offered an opinion about the pitching, the nature of the pitching, and Neil Huntington had quite the response to it. And Craig, because he is who he is, the best in the business, has dug this up for you. Here was the exchange yesterday. Greg Brown asking about the pitching, sort of making a comment about the pitching, and Neil Huntington, I want you to hear both the question and the response.
Now, Tyone's out of the equation. I personally believe if this team's going to compete, Neil, you've got to find a way to get some pitching in here.
It certainly makes it more logical to plan that Jameson Tyone isn't going to be here. And how do we get Joe Musgrove to continue to turn that corner, the things that we're seeing? How do we continue to get Chris Archer to be Chris Archer again? How do we get Mitch Keller to take that next step forward? How do we help Trevor Williams go back to being as good as Trevor Williams was last second half of last season, when he was one of the top three or four pitchers in the game? How do we get that Trevor Williams back again and get him healthy, get Chris Archer a full baseball offseason, get Joe Musgrove a full baseball offseason? Can we continue to get Steve Brault to push this forward, and can he be as good as he's been here statistically in the second half? What what externally is available for us to add to the rotation, whether it's depth or what. Is there another Francisco Liriano out there? Is there another Volquez out there? Is there another Jay Happ out there? We'll explore that. Our bullpen, we have good arms. They've pitched well for stretches. They've not pitched well for stretches. How do we get Keller back to being Keller, Crick back to being Crick, Rodriguez back to being Rodriguez? We get Edgar Santana healthy next year. We get Chad Kuhl healthy next year. And, of course, you lock it down with Felipe Vasquez in a high-leverage situation. So the talent is there. How do we put it together? How do we add to it and make it better? And that's the question that we have to answer here in September. And as we go through the offseason, how do we add to this group? How do we maximize this group? Because, again, I'll get crushed for saying this. The core of the 13 team was that 2012 team.
So that was the exchange. How does Neil Huntington say that, any of that, with a straight face? I mean, I know how he does. He's the guy that acquired these players in one form or fashion. So if anybody is going to believe in them, if anybody is going to be the last man on the ship going down with the ship when it comes to these guys and their performance, it's going to be the general manager who acquired them. But in what you know, like, listen to all of that. And what do you hear? Seriously, what do you hear? You hear a general manager essentially saying, I'm hoping we can find ways for the guys that have been mediocre for us this year, to flat out bad, to be something other than that. That was his solution. Can so-and-so do, it was can X do Y? Can X do Y? Over and over again. Can Joe Musgrove get there? Can Chris Archer revert to form? Can, will. How? There was no, we're going to be aggressive and look to acquire somebody. We are definitely in the market. We're definitely looking at all our options. It wasn't even a we're looking at all of our options, really. It was, can the guys who have failed this year not fail next year? Can we find some pitchers who are like the guys we found over a half decade ago when they were easier to find? He cites Francisco Liriano. He cites Jay Happ. And the Jay Happ thing should be an indictment every single time, because they turned him around and made him a much better pitcher. They did. Pound for pound, for me, Jay Happ, I think, is their best reclamation project. He became incredible. And they didn't re-sign him. It wasn't worth it to them. They got arrogant. They brought Ryan Vogelsong and John Neese into the fold. They did the turnaround on Jay Happ and then said, that's not worth our time to do it again. So when I hear the general manager say, in so many words, our plan for next year is that guys that haven't been good become good, and I guess they do some mystical stuff to help them get there, and guys who aren't good for other teams, we find them and make them good again. When they're not good at doing that anymore, I wonder what pitching coach will be the one doing that, because it won't be Ray Searidge, because he's going to get fired, I would imagine. When I hear that as his strategy, I don't get pumped for 2020. I don't hear a man who is aggressively addressing the problem. I hear Neil Huntington hoping, against all hope, that everything breaks this team's way next year. And by the way, if it does, that doesn't guarantee anything. When you're hoping that Steven Brault can continue to be slightly better than league average, you're not hoping for much. Because he's saying, hope Steve Brault can keep showing what he's shown. What do they think he's going to turn? I mean, that sounds like, in my mind, hoping for what, 2013 first half Jeff Locke, I believe. We all know how that turned out. Jeff Locke's one of the worst all-star starting pitchers, not actually starting the game, but a starting pitcher to make the game there's ever been. Oh, and Chad Kuhl. Well, there's Chad Kuhl at least. Chad Kuhl, he of the 4.37 career ERA. I like Chad Kuhl as a person. Chad Kuhl, fun guy to talk to, but Chad Kuhl has never been able to do a couple things. Harness his control enough to keep his walks down and his strikeouts high enough to harness the arm he has, which can hit triple digits. He's never been like a reliable, go deep into ball games guy when he's been healthy. Oh, and by the way, he's coming off of Tommy John. So there's another internal hope. A guy coming off of the surgery Jameson Taillon has to get again. In what universe does any of this sound like a good plan? I give Greg Brown a lot of credit for just flat out saying, Neil, if you are going to have a chance to compete, if you're going to compete, you've got to find pitching. And Neil Huntington, I give no credit to him for saying, essentially, yeah, we're going to run it back with these guys and assume it's going to be different. When does that actually happen? When does a team bring back the majority of its players in a situation? Let me put it this way, too. Let me qualify this. When you're dealing with a team where most of the guys are unproven in their current roles, where they haven't ever had a season where they showed they could do it, how often has bringing that team back in full with no major adjustments worked? Maybe if the Pirates of 2014 lost and then they decided to run it back in 2015, you could say, okay, it was mostly the same guys that were good in 13. We've seen them be good. Maybe they can be again. This team right now is in a tailspin. They're 21 games under 500. And you're running it back with the same pitchers who, as a group of starters, have had a 6.09 ERA post-All-Star game. That's your strategy. How is that supposed to excite anybody? How is that supposed to stand as an acceptable answer? And then this half-hearted, we'll try to find another Liriano, maybe another Hap, you know, the Volquezes of the world. We'll try to exploit things in the margins, things that don't exist anymore. The Pirates' personnel on hand, their players are not good. Their starting pitchers are not good. I can scarcely think of another tack that is less inspiring to take when discussing how you're going to improve the team than saying, we're just going to bring them all back and try to figure out how to make them better. You've got to allow for the possibility that they can't get better, because that very well might be the case. Really frustrating. And yet, somehow, that was not the most frustrating thing Neil Huntington had to say. At 5 o'clock, you are going to hear that. At 5 o'clock, I am going to play a clip. Now remember, I'm a big advanced stats guy. I pay for Baseball Reference and Fangraphs subscriptions so I don't have to deal with ads. That's how much I like advanced stats. Starkey used to make fun of me for bringing up XFIP on the show. Nobody knows what that is, Malzy. Don't say that anymore. So I love stats. What Neil Huntington said that was extremely stat-involved yesterday had me rolling my eyes damn near out of my head. And you're going to hear that at 5 o'clock. In 5 minutes, Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com has had, I think, a very interesting perspective, has been very informational, has had a lot to say about this Antonio Brown helmet saga. And we're going to talk to him about it, because I think you're going to, even if you're very anti-AB right now, I think at least you're going to hear some things that make you pause, even if only for a minute, to consider the way that this has all gone down and the NFL's role in the entire thing. That's coming up next. First, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Join Sun Chevy for their all-star open house all month long and open the door to a new Chevy. Really sunny outside right now, so should be really nice the rest of the day. 87 for a high, 90 tomorrow with a chance of rain in the forecast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.